Let me tell you what happens when you arrive to that. If you have developed a willingness through some measure, whatever the door that opens for you, I can't tell you which door you'll go in, that if you have within yourself a willingness to accept all cases, within your community, which is the world, and you're willing to do it free, with no barriers, you know what'll happen? Your phone will be ringing off. They'll be lined up, waiting in the front of your office, to wait in line in your yard, to wait in line, to wait on the chairs that you have available. That's what a made-up mind chiropractor does. Do you think he can have a chiropractor have a made-up mind if he's going to treat all these cases with ultrasound, diapulse, medcosynolator, nutritional supplementation, psychological counseling? Have you got to determine which of these cases out here are medical cases? If you think that's a first frontline forefront in the spiritual aspects, not discounting the fact of your professional responsibility, which is different from what I'm speaking of. We're speaking of the spiritual conceptualization of a willingness to serve these people. You think that all of medical science, for all the negatives that they say about chiropractic, if we got to discern which vitamin, which color, which pill, how much, when, and we go ask the medical computers and it doesn't say anything about chiropractic, are we going to face that negativity that we are a fringe profession? That the medical science says that it won't work, can't work, never will work, never has worked. Quack charlatans and cultists, we're going to look at that and expect the principle that requires 100% perfection to manifest, to give us this 500 to 700 visits per week. If you yourself are in doubt, or do you be expected to reap your own reward? A struggling 5 new patients a week. What I'm suggesting. I see Joe Stuckey sitting over here. He works too hard. Don't you listen, Joe. Sometime I've been up to see him in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. He looks like a meat rind, meat skin. A nice looking, shriveled up meat skin. Overworked. 700 visits a week plus. And we got a lot of our people right here not willing to work the dials on the inside. Not willing to turn the dials and to prepare. To find out, us above all other beings, find out how to make success an inside job. Not some external motivation that we've been responding to and reacting to. What do we do internally? How do we develop our coach that supplies the motivation within ourselves? Our instructor, our tutor. What processes, what procedures do we go through? To make true professionals out of ourselves. Now that's what we're down here at DE for. Many of us think we are over here to see Epcot Center. And to see Disneyland, or to sun ourselves. I hadn't been sunning much this week. A lot of think we're down for a vacation. We're down here to study how to get in the mood for the time we put in our practice and in our off time. What are we going to do to eliminate this incessant prayerful bombardment to our subconscious minds, which keeps coming back to us in the form of poverty, greed, fear, frustration, hate, vengeance, travail? What is it that we keep telling ourselves that don't let us sail with the great ones? What's the incessant bombardment of talk that goes on into our consciousness on a moment-by-moment basis? Or I know we like to say, well, I meditate. How many minutes a day? All it takes is that one decision right here at this meeting. I am going to do it. No more chicken today and feathers tomorrow. For me. As soon as you see yourself in the picture, as soon as you come to the realization that your real purpose is to love these people, to give them chiropractic, love the people, give them the chiropractic service, ask for the referrals in the form of a suggestion, motivate them to activity, say the right things, give the right handshake, give the right touch, provide the right eye contact. Do it forever. Very simple. Your goal, your purpose, your objective, now, before you get rich, is to adopt all of these other bosses that you've got out here. Not some boss that's going to hire you for $500,000. The patients are your bosses. We think we're the bosses. The small-minded people think that they're the boss. They got to win every argument. Patients want a single-minded, God-centered person capable of loving them and giving of themselves intimately. Now that means we've got to cut out all the small talk. Get rid of the chaff. Recognize the wheat of success. Get the patients in. Get them adjusted. Make the right suggestions. Ask them to bring their family. Give them total love. See that they pay. But that second, third, fourth, and fifth down the road. Keep serving. Keep loving. Keep serving. Keep loving. Giving out. We used to call it in DE, just get in the business. The business of reaching sick people. I think it's good to meditate on a union with God once or twice or three times a day or incessantly. If you're at that stage where you want to experience fulfillment in life, you can experience fulfillment. Continue. That's healthy. That's giving. But if your business is not doing what it should, you haven't been able to come to grips with this thing, what kind of little programs have you got that you've memorized? Little words of encouragement. I like my patients. I love my patients. I've developed a willingness to give out of my own inner abundance incessantly until I'm able to give 100% totally to all my patients. My patients send me hundreds of referrals. I don't welcome criticism, but I'm not afraid of criticism. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my profession. I include it in this total gift of myself. I incessantly work on my 10-point program. I do what's necessary to do. How many of you have got 100 little self-talk things? Or 10 little self-talk things? That every objection you come up to, every negative opportunity that subconscious aspect feeding back to you, some fella asked me the other day, said, I was over at the next car to him. He seen me before riding around in Marietta, said, who you talking to today, Doc? I said, I'm talking to the same guy I've been talking to all this time. My friend within, he said, you got a friend within? I said, you betcha. He said, well, lots of luck. I said, I don't need any luck. I just need to keep telling my friend what it is I want to do as if I've already accomplished it. You see, I can ask the questions and I can answer the questions. I can make the statements and I can make more statements. Do you do that? You didn't used to. Are you able to talk to yourself in the right manner? I'm going to give out of my own abundance. I'm meeting 3 new patients today. I'm not going to sit here any longer. I'm not going to be subject to the environment. Not going to be subject to social climate. Not going to be subject to criticism. I create my goals and objectives and I positively pursue them. What else is there to do? Sit there and listen to the negativity, the criticisms. Now that requires a lot of effort and a lot of training and a lot of habitual thinking to overcome this. Every person that is enjoying great success in chiropractic, in any field, travels that same path. It's real easy, very simple. It's called definite major purpose. To serve people through chiropractic. Very simple. 10-point working plan. Are you working the 10-point plan? Man who idly sits and thinks may grow a nobler crop than corn, for thoughts are seeds of future deeds, for when God thought the world was born. Long days, sleepless nights, aspiring to perfection. Why don't I go out and work? I talked to a chiropractor on the cruise the other day. Been in chiropractic 35 years. He told me with absolute authority, he said, I can't give lectures to my patients because I'm afraid. 3 days or 4 days after he'd been on the cruise, I walked by him. He was lit up like a China doll, just grinning all over. I said, you don't look afraid anymore. He said, funny thing about it, I'm not. I said, are you going back and give a lecture? He said, I believe I am. I said, you'll never do it. That's the wrong answer. I said, come on back here on the back of this boat. Let's talk it over again. Never say, I think I am. The key word is, I am. With decisiveness. I am. And when you get it made, the old ministers in the Christian faith say, you prepare the vessel and God will fill it. Now how much real planning, really decisive planning are you doing? Really? Decisive. Made up mind. I'll tell you about old Rocky again. Some of you don't pay any attention to these movies. Rocky's beaten. He's broken. His sinuses have caved in. His lips are torn apart. His nose is crooked. He's a bloody, inhuman mass. And what does he say walking back to the other side? And can you say it with this authority? Rocky says, I ain't going down no more. He should have already been down. And what did old Scarlett O'Hara, with all of her privileges and her land and all this business, come out in the pink and gorgeous sunset? I'll beg, borrow, lie, cheat, steal, but I'll never be poor again. Can you say that? It's hard to get the husk off to come right down to it. Remember, Dr. Nell and I went out, some of you may not know it, but we had our this traumatic thing about the college. Before the college, someone burnt our clinic, Joe, the shopping center, $500,000, twice, 1 year apart. There's an idiot still out there. Burn it down on the same day, DE weekend, in February. Neil and I went out there, Kim and called us the last time and said, y'all sitting down? Yep. Shopping center's burning again. We got out there. I mean, it's nothing. Neil and I held hands and said, well, we got each other. What can you say? We got each other. We can rebuild. We can come back. What more do we have here at this meeting? If you want to be successful, say something with authority. Most people have never done anything with authority in their whole life. They're waiting for someone else to give them the social gestures that we accept you. Now you can dance. See? Who gives a damn about the social acceptance? We are speaking about your social success. You'll be surprised at how your house and your community will look when you make up your mind, like Rocky did. I'm not going down anymore. No more! No more starvation for me. I am going to do what's necessary to make my practice successful. That's all you've got to come to the realization of. That's it. Because that social climb in that community, that state association says that if you're doing 500 visits a week, 1,000 visits a week, you're above us, you think you're better than us, you're over there laughing and talking and loving these people and making an embarrassment out of chiropractic. You think you can see 1,000 visits a week? You're not acceptable in our community. You can't be the district leader anymore. Those of you that are new here for the first time, back when chiropractic and chiropractors were negative, we'd go home from DE just like light candles, skyrockets, rocket ships, on fire. With answers and solutions. What is your name?
Frank Ogg.
Frank Ogg. You remember those days, don't you?
Do I remember
them? He used to go home down to Louisiana and just burn a path all the way from the Hilton out at the airport in Atlanta. Isn't that right? And I mean just light up like a Roman candle. We had road signs all up and down the eastern seaboard. Chiropractic builds natural immunity. Avoid dangerous drugs. And the chiropractors out there in the field were negative. Some of you young people don't know how we got Medicare. Frank knows. The DE guys bought mimeograph machines. We gathered 2 million statements signed by American citizens and sent them up to Wilbur Mills. You remember Wilmer Mills. We give him the 2 million things through Herman Talmadge. We had a room half this big full of mail bags. Of course, we had to give Wilbur, Frank, you remember the $35,000. I just got cut off. Maybe N.A.'s trying to tell me something. Wilbur Mills. Thank you. N.A. always provides. Great Scott, you remember the days we raised the 2 million petitions. I told a group of that on the boat the other day, said, you know, this is a guy from Louisiana, too, or Mississippi. He said, you know, I never did know why Wilbur changed his mind so fast. I said, well, at $35,000 and 2 million signatures to the United States Congress makes things happen. He said, you know, Sid, if I'd known that y'all did all that, I wouldn't have been against you so hard over these years. Now, I don't think we need to go back out and start any more bonfires. I don't think we ought to merge, I'm telling you that, on both sides. I think we ought to preserve the two-party system. I think we ought to work together for the common good of chiropractic and relative to the people. We need all the rights. We're primary licensed doctors, capable of doing all of these things of a professional person with our education. We need our system. If we go too far and start treating the whole body, we're not going to be able to do the same academic program that we got. I don't know of another profession, and I think one thing the college presidents did, they said the chiropractic science, something like this, is the relationship between the structure and the function. I don't think anybody could have said it any clearer. The first line about the chiropractic science deal with the relationship between the structure and the nervous system and how it functions. No one else in this whole world knows what we know about it. Do you realize that everybody else thinks there's a psychological problem with people, the Great Scott? Do you know that? How many of you have ever seen, you people that have been in chiropractic a long time, how many of you have ever seen a person who could come in, you could change his thinking, and he corrected that atlas subluxation? It might have been drifted out a little bit, but I'm talking about a fixation. Now, a little stress can bring it on. We never said that that was the only way to correct subluxations. We always said that it was the most practical way to get sick people well. We can take this, the phenomena of what we know about life and health, the phenomena that you CAs and you wives who understand the principle, if we could show you how to adjust the subluxation to free all the impingements, you would have to have no dialogue. No dialogue is required. Just making the adjustment, imagine the profound significance. With all the learned men in the world have accumulated libraries of basic data that fill up three hotels like this, that the basic data does not to this moment include this phenomenon. That all it takes is the release of this for the law of gravity to work, and that to cure most ills of mankind, the basic ill of mankind is the separation between the God within and the man without. I think that's what Michael Kale over here does in his upper cervical work. He frees the medulla at the joint of the cervical joint, which must be freed in order to turn this loose. You got to regroup every day. Redefine and recodify, reiterate your faith, which is necessary. Re-strengthen your faith in the fundamental principles that we are about. It gets dull dealing with lawyers, lying skin flints. Some of them are good. You're keeping the patient because you want to get a big insurance claim. I had a patient one time who had a miracle happen. Been in an accident in Pensacola, Florida. She came in, x-rayed, subluxation was so obvious, one atlas left. Bang, she gets up and she says, "Doctor said it's a miracle." I said, "It's not a miracle." She said, "I don't have any pain. No more headache, no stiffness, no tension. Look, I'm free. I can do anything. I've been sick 6 months. They told me I'd be a cripple for life." She tells everybody. Go to the Capitol, tell all the legislatures. All in Austell, Cobb County, Atlanta area, this miracle healer out here. 2 months later, she misses an appointment. She misses the second appointment. I go downtown. Where's Clara? Clara don't like you anymore. Clara don't like me anymore. Clara thinks I'm a miracle healer. What happened to her? Well, she went back to her doctor in Florida, went back to her lawyer who's on this personal injury case, says she must have that brace on, or she can't win the suit. She said, the doctor said, "That quack took you out of this brace? 2 months I haven't needed this brace. Back in that brace or you'll never win this judgment." We know that. They know that. Everybody knows it. Don't we, Frank? You do that about 8 hours a day, you'll have a cankered soul. You'll rot out on the inside unless you get some purity every now and then. And that's what you have to reaffirm every day. That this does it. That all these microbes and these diseases that we're so scared of, these pathogens, that they're there for one reason. Because the patient's suffering with a vertebral subluxation. And if you're like Michael over here and like Joe, like me, like Bob, like Frank, you know where the subluxation is. You've long ago solved it. And that your major problem in life is to correct it. Correctly. And make it stay. That's all there is to it. All the other professional attributes are additives to that principle. That's what you've got to be enthused about. You've got to wish in your mind's eye for 1,000 people. Doug, how you doing? Doris, good to see you. Pierce, that who it is? Pierce, what's your last name?
Heitz.
Doug Heitz, I know you from Orlando. Re-strengthen, re-fortify your conviction every day that you're right. Not that they're right. Hold no malice. Wipe all the barriers between religion, race, profession from your consciousness. I accept all cases, regardless of the condition or the financial ability to pay. My goal and my objective is to serve people, and I perfect myself to do this. Adjust a few people and leave it alone. Don't keep hammering and adjusting and a twisting and a pulling and a popping and a pouring and a feeding. Just let them alone. And tell them, you don't need anything else. What do you mean I don't need anything else? I have corrected what I think is the fundamental, basic, underlying cause of all of your problems. These ulcers? Absolutely. This asthma? Absolutely. This AIDS? Absolutely. These crossed eyes of mine? Yes. The diarrhea? Yes. My problems with my marriage? Yes. You know what'll happen? depending upon how good you are, depending upon the quality of the care that you give. Sure enough, what does the old Christian say in the South? Just as sure as God made little green apples. Just as sure as if I drop this key, if you make that correction on that patient and you're sure that it's made and it stays, what is going to happen? Ralph Ungerang. It's going to get better, aren't it? Healing is going to come about. Now, who else can say that? What other profession can demonstrate scientifically this principle in motion? The chiropractors ought to be so excited to mandate that this thing is known worldwide. Every day we got to refortify that. Every day you strengthen and re-strengthen your convictions. Very easy. Okay? Now, this requires, seemed like you got married in this hotel, didn't you? Had a nice wedding out by the pool when we all had our fur coats on, didn't we? Now, I want you to be able to, those of you that are inhibited, take off your coats and put on some shorts and let your hairy legs go around here. Be sure to have a new pair of shoes with a pair of socks halfway up to your knees. That'll strengthen you. Make them about a 30-cent pair of socks, too. That'll be good. Those of you that got a beard, shave it off. Those of you that don't have a beard, grow one. Okay? Get rid of your inhibitions, in other words. Come down to learn. Now, I'm going to ask you to say, like the little Chinese say, work is fun. I love to work. A lot of times you say, well, I don't want to be motivated like that. I don't really like to work. We just got through telling you, you've got to love to work. Work is fun. I love to work. I want it to be just right. I want it to be exuberant, not just me putting on a demo up here. Look at that clown we got. You noticed how thin I am? I'm 215 pounds of solid muscle and sinew. See? And I was out close to the sun the other day, my hair just started getting darker and darker the more I stayed out in that sun. I noticed I got one gray one left right here on my forehead. I wasn't out there long enough. Can you see it right up there? Okay. But I like the way the sun done it this time. It did real good. Skin's all faced up. Got my hair laid out. Since I got my teeth fixed, my hair laid, it don't need any longer. Got my heel lifts out. I'm just a walking skeleton. I need all these adjuncts to keep me going. I'm nearly about total electronic. Keep me living. Now, when I asked you something, this is what you want to be able to walk up the street just carrying on a big conversation. Man, I feel healthy and I feel happy and I feel terrific. And people will say, my God, who is that nut over there? So what did you say? You say, I feel terrific. And if you say it right, they'll say, well, I wish I felt that good. Say, well, you can. Say it with me. I feel terrific. Heard an echo. And another thing. With this new attitudinal change we're going to bring about. Learning to talk to ourselves every time we run up against a roadblock. I am never defeated permanently. I may suffer a temporary defeat, but I always survive and I endure and I readapt and I reevaluate and I go over, around, under, or through all obstacles. Can you remember to say that little positive? Every time you get defeated, say it. I never ultimately suffer permanent defeat. Every defeat, which all men and women are fall victims to, is only temporary. I will go over, under, or around, or through this obstacle, and I ultimately will prevail with God's strength. Got to always add that last one in there, or you'll get too arrogant and thinking you did it. You've got to give credit to the strength, within. Must have strength. Every time a negative prevents you from drafting your plans, from reaching your goals, from defining your goals, every time there's a subconscious bombardment, combat it with a little positive language of your own. I think the scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians, I don't know much about the Bible, it says, stand ye behind thee, Satan. Stand ye behind me, Satan. Now those of you that have got problems that you can't solve, put them behind you. Turn the corner. Do you know what that means, turn the corner on a problem? If you look back, what do you see? The corner. But you don't see the problem. If the problem's out front of you, it motivates you and it activates you. Put it behind you. And when it gets behind you, in your mind's eye, go up and make an abrupt turn. Now you've got a clear front and a clear back. And that problem is back there where you can solve it. Enter it, we'll work it out. The answers always come. Simple. Put them all behind you. And turn every corner on every problem, every frustration you've got, whatever you talk about. How many, let me see a show of hands, are conscious of subconscious bombardment in your minds all the time? What does these little subconscious proddings tell you? What are you talking about? I wish you'd all write me down by tomorrow or maybe tonight during the break. Write me down what your innate or your subconscious mind is bombarding you with. Tell me what your subconscious mind is incessantly cropping into your consciousness. None of that, Frank. Gotta have a woman, gotta have a woman, gotta have a woman. I don't know. You got one, a good looking one too. New patients. You write down to me what all your subconscious, what is it bombarding with? What is this small talk? A lot of guys say, I'm so full of stress. I'm going to teach you before we leave this afternoon how to open that space in your consciousness. I've talked a lot of times about breathing. How do you do your breathing? How do you do your meditation? What do you look at? What do you do? How do you do it? If you'll do it for 10 days, you'll do it forever. It will open up the gaps in your consciousness and give you something else to listen to. I was walking on Lido Beach here last week, and the seas were pretty high. We had a 30-mile wind coming from Minnesota up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Joe. That ocean had a hum all the time. And you hear a lot of times a person, there's a thing that said another, about up into the mountains where I grew, where I found my strength. There's a scriptural truth about somewhere in the mountains that I find my strength. I was listening to this ocean out there. That's why we do an arm sometime in meditation. Nothing metaphysical about it. We want to create that sound that you hear in the ocean. If you listen to that, you will lose. It will loosen the grip of the subconscious bombardment. And after a while, you will hear the ocean sound, and you won't hear your subconscious mind talking to you. Now, that's the reason that you want to do this breathing exercise and then sit there silently. When you first start, you'll hear all this talk, all this chatter, and you can't concentrate because it's one thing after another. But every now and then, it will quit. And then you seize the silence. And then you listen at the silence. Every now and then, you'll be ultra peaceful. Then you look at the peace, and you listen to the peace, and you experience the peace. With all this modern-day technology, radio, television, go, 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 do this, do that, and all of our subconscious objections, the negative influence that we put out, we build our own stress. So when you go to the ocean, don't take along a huge crowd. Go yourself or with a friend, but don't say anything. Listen. Listen until after a while, all you'll hear is the incessant roar of the ocean. And then you'll find yourself, well, the subconscious, I don't have any thoughts. I feel so refreshed. I feel so relaxed. I feel so peaceful. It's because we've quieted and we've stilled the subconscious aspects of our minds. Okay? So now, another thing. If you think that, well, if I go to bed at 10 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock at night, I feel so tired in the morning. Well, whatever your zero hour is, your clock never gets there. You follow what I mean? It's always 5 minutes till 10 or 5 minutes till 12. If 12 o'clock, after that, you feel tired and destitute and wore out, it never gets to 12 o'clock. Okay? Mine is almost always 5 to 12. Somebody said it's 2 o'clock. To me, it's not. It's 5 minutes to 12. Okay? Somebody says, like they do in Galva, Illinois, these old mill workers would come out and say, how you feeling? He'll say, well, not too bad. Meaning that it's bad, but not too bad. Say to yourself, it's near perfect. Near perfect, even though you're tired, worn out, frustrated, had a fist fight with one of your patients or your teacher or your dance instructor, whatever. How is it? Don't say how it is. It is near perfect. Near perfect. God forbid it's near perfect. Those two things will help you start coming out, developing a new attitude. And what about work? Work is fun. I love to work. Now with enthusiasm, more strength, more depth, more concern, more concentration you put into it, the more penetration you get. When I count to three. One, two, three. Work is fun. I love to work. This row right back here, there's two or three of them that didn't say anything. I want to see the lady delegation. I want to hear the ladies how much they enjoy their office work. Work is fun. I love to work. Okay? One, two, three.
Work is fun. I love to work. Work is fun. I love to work.
This side did real well. I don't know whether I'm deep in this ear or not, but somehow you guys didn't perform properly. The ladies on my left, you girls get a, is it girls or ladies? Y'all get a gold star. Only on this side for our female delegation. Work is fun. That's my two New York girls back here. I know they love to work there. One, two, three.
Work is fun.
Time out. All right, listen to that cheerleader back there. That is real good. Ladies. You want to be so exuberant and so filled with life that work is fun. I love to work. Hand motions. Now, got to have the attitude now. One, two, three.
Work is fun. I love to work. Work is fun. I love to work.
I want y'all to have a demonstration. I'm telling you. Damn, let's tell you. No wonder I'm hoarse. Now, ladies, will you show this crowd over here on the other side what real enthusiasm is? I'm probably going to get sand in my grits here tonight. I can tell that right now. One, two, three.
Work is fun. I love to work. Work is fun. I love to work. Work is fun. I love to work.
Perfect. Boy, that's good. Dee, will you stop McLean back there in the back? Bill, this is Dr. McLean. He's making his exit now. All right, everybody, work is fun. I love to work. One, two, three.
Work is fun. I love to work.
Work is fun. I love to work.
Work is fun. I love to work.
Work is fun. I love to work. Dee, put your hands together.
To continue this exciting topic, please play the next cassette in the series.